In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help curveball.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nick's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's hair. We need a live, was there a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan. The summer
wind. Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single morning. Hope your Tuesdays are off to a good start. Thanks for being with us. We'll get to the mail sack coming up here in a matter of moments.
Hey, Daddy Dirt.
Hey. You guys want to talk about how Deion Sanders won't let the Colorado band play the fight song after Shador scores a touchdown?
Why?
Did you not see this headline yesterday?
No. I didn't see that at all.
The Colorado people are trying to say this is not true, but then they acknowledge that it is true. In the same press release, so it's very weird. There's a story that came out that said he instructed the band they cannot do it when Shador scores a touchdown because they have to play Shador's rap song when he scores his touchdowns. They need to play his. What was his song?
I don't know.
We played it on the air.
I don't think anybody knows what
nobody
the song
knows.
Is.
He There's... opened for Lil Wayne though, and that song
well, that's
that,
a Nepo open.
I'm shining or I'm yeah, I'm a okay. star, whatever the name of his stupid song is. They have to play that over the loudspeaker, and so they have instructed the band. Then Colorado had to address it and say, "Well, this is not true. We just play a small snippet of the song, and then the band can play."
Oh, it's like a remix version of it.
It is technically true then, because they play the song first.
Boy, everybody enjoyed their game this weekend.
Everybody loved it. A lot of hate watching going on.
A lot of hate watching on that one.
A lot of hate watching this weekend. Is there any excuse for Daniel Jones to take another snap in the NFL?
Not really, no. No.
Who's their backup? Do we know who their backup quarterback is?
It's DeVito.
What are we doing?
Tommy Colcutts.
You got Tommy Colcutts waiting on the bench, and you're riding with Danny Dimes?
I know.
What is New York doing?
You can make a real argument. Their backup's better than their starter.
Yeah, you really
He's
can.
Got more pick sixes than touchdowns since he signed his contract.
They got Drew Locke, too.
No, it's Drew Locke who's listed as the
second. Technically,
DeVito's the emergency quarterback.
I got DeVito over Drew Locke, too. What do I want Drew Locke for?
Break glass in case of emergency.
I am curious to ask you, so we debated this, I remember, on draft night, and there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a different feeling about how you build out a roster. I do think everybody in that organization is going to get fired. Like, that's going to happen. Brian Daboll doesn't have answers. Their GM's an idiot. Like, that's all going to crash and burn. With the hindsight, is Malik Nabers still the right draft pick for them?
Well, here's the thing about that question. How did any rookie do?
They all look terrible.
Harrison had
other than
one
Penix,
catch
who we didn't
for
see.
4 yards. Yep. Penix had the best weekend.
No, I think it's not a wide receiver. It's not a wide receiver thing. It's more about knowing how bad Danny Dimes is.
Yes.
Would you have rather them taken Penix, McCarthy, Nix, or sure. Those are three guys
and
that went
none
afterwards.
Of those quarterbacks look good this weekend. Yeah. And you can say, well, that's 1 week, sure. And then if they start to look good, then we'll have that conversation.
Yeah, the rookie that had the best opening game was Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs.
They reportedly loved May. May was the guy
they wanted to do.
But New England was unwilling to move off of the third pick. If you all only identify one quarterback that you like, why? I disagree with the fundamental take of you draft a quarterback no matter what. Hmm. If you're in a spot where you don't have a quarterback, you should take one no matter what. What if you don't like him?
Yeah. What if you don't like him this year?
Well,
do you not take one again?
They kind of have to, I think, this year.
now you have to, right?
Like, no, but
that's a hard part. Like, at some point, you're going to have to make that pick because Danny.
If you don't like him in multiple draft classes, then you're looking for a standard that may not exist. Yeah. My only defense of the Giants is the guy they wanted the most got taken. Their second player on the board was Neighbors. They probably didn't view Penix or Nix as high as those guys went.
Yeah.
You go McCarthy? We killed the Vikings for going McCarthy. And, you know, unfortunately for him, he got hurt. So Caleb, Jaden, May get taken 1, 2, 3. McCarthy went 4, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't the first year we had 4 straight quarterbacks?
Yes, I believe so.
And then the Giants ended up taking Neighbors with their pick. What do you want them to do? They tried to trade up. New England didn't want to trade.
So here was your draft order. Williams 1, Daniels 2, May 3, Harrison 4.
Harrison 4, thank you.
Yeah.
And then
Joe Alt 5.
Okay, Joe
which,
Alt.
Boy, oh boy, did that look like a good draft pick 1 week into the season.
He didn't give up a single pressure to Max Crosby.
That looked really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
When Harbaugh likes a lineman, I like the lineman.
I'm going to take that lineman.
Hot take.
Malik Neighbors went 6th into the Giants. Okay. And then the guys that were still on the board for them to take, J.C. Latham, offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Penix went 8, Adunze, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. So those, and then Brock Bauer, some other guys that were still on the board. I see your larger point. This will be a thing that's debated all, like, because he's gonna suck. They're gonna suck. Their season's going nowhere, and they will fire
their
everybody.
Season is over.
It's
that's
already
what's
over.
Crazy about it.
Like Sam Darnold made them their bitch. That's not good.
Yeah.
I can joke about Sam Darnold. He's not a good NFL quarterback. And when you lose 28-6 to a team without their guy that they wanted to be their starting quarterback, 5 alarm fire.
Did Burns and Thibodeau play?
They did. They did nothing.
I heard not one time their name called. And then, like, I don't know if the Viking offensive line is regarded as one of the best in
the
NFL.
They're better than they were last year, but they're not one of the best in the league. That's
for Sam Darnold had no pressure on him.
Yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau's became public enemy number one there, too, because he gave some snippy answers in the post game afterwards to some media members. And it's like, dude, you didn't even have a tackle.
Well, he's one of those, like, when it's going well, he loves to talk and be front and center in the camera. When it's not, it's a little, like, off-putting.
Not a great draft pick.
You got Burns and Thibodeau. You get no pressure on Sam Darnold and the Vikings. I don't even think the Vikings are that good.
Not good, Bob. Not good. I was just curious to get your thoughts on that because I've seen some, like Nick Costos, our buddy, he's been hammering that. Why'd you take Neighbors? Should have taken a quarterback. And so they're going to keep doubling down on that.
I told that to Kim Barkley, and he said like 4 weeks into the preseason or camp, Costos had seen highlights and was instantly changing his tunes. It's like, I can't live with the off-on fan who's like, they're the dumbest for not doing what I thought they should do. Oh, no, that's actually a really good... Oh, now they're the dumbest. Like, pick a lane.
Yeah.
Stay in the lane. And that's part of fandom. We're all fanatical and we're crazy and we change our minds. I don't know. I think the Giants are an interesting spot. Is it all Daboll? Would you fire Daboll? Would you fire him and the GM? Would you just
fire the GM? I'd clean house with everybody.
Really?
I just fresh start, man. It's maybe with ownership.
Because Daboll was the genius with Josh Allen. Then they got to the playoffs. They won their wild card game.
They beat the Vikings in a wild card playoff game.
I don't know, man. Giants have been interesting post their Super Bowl win.
They've been horribly. They're one of the worst organizations in the league.
They have the most random hires. 2 Super Bowl titles of my life.
no doubt about that. I think my argument for them drafting a quarterback just would have been simply, and this might age terribly, so remember this one. There's not a lot of guys this year that I'm super high on. Like, well, Carson Beck being a number one, like, is that doing anything? Is that move my needle? Like, he might end up being good. Shador Sanders, I'm like, he's talented. But
what about Cam?
Yeah, but he's also got a funky hair up his nose and is a turnover-prone guy from time to time.
I know. The way he plays.
And is his style of play going to work in the NFL?
NFL.
So that's the thing of, like, I see your large argument. If you're not in love with a guy, don't take a guy.
Ewers does look good.
Maybe Quinn Ewers is the guy, to be fair. Maybe he ends up being the player that's the number one overall draft pick at quarterback. But that, like, if I could have Michael Penix or those guys, I think I would take Michael Penix.
But you've never seen him play a snap.
I've never seen any of those guys play a snap in the NFL either. I'm just telling you, from what I've seen in college, his accuracy, his timing, everything that he did when he was at Washington, I would rather draft and take a flyer on that guy than I would some of the other guys coming out this year. And that's why I would have thought about taking a quarterback, because I think anybody with a brain saw this coming a mile away. That this, like, who thought they lost their best player, the guy who single-handedly carried them offensively, and Saquon Barkley, who's their best wide receiver?
Well, it's probably Neighbors.
Neighbors now.
Yeah.
Yeah. One game into his career, he had 5 catches for 60 yards. He's not going to put a good number. Not his fault. He didn't have a quarterback. Like, so this is going to be a terrible team. Mm-hmm. And so you had a chance maybe to take a guy last year. We'll see what they do going forward this year. I'm curious to ask you about the Bills. This is a pivotal year for them, it feels like. Knocking on the door so many times. They trade away Stephon Diggs, who looked really good in week one in Houston. Josh Allen, so much attention on him. Can they break through? One of the weirder, crazier games of the opening weekend of the NFL season, down 17-0 and coming back and winning 34-28. What do we make of the Bills in week one?
First of all, we also had a kickoff return in this game.
We did.
Our first one of the year.
I'm still against the rule, by the way.
Well, it still looks funky.
It just it takes away the big game feeling. Like cameras flashing, kickoff, like, oh, it
looks so weird.
You lose that luster.
What do we make of the Bills? I mean, this is who I think the Bills are.
Ran the ball. Allen only had one turnover.
Yeah, he ran the ball a lot himself.
He did.
He was a huge part of their rushing attack.
Bigger issues.
Coleman developing.
Yeah, bigger issues. Their secondary. They lost their two safeties who knew what was going on. Yes, they were getting older, but they... You know, they orchestrated that defense, and I think that's because they gave up a ton of points to Arizona.
Well, but see, I think this goes back to our Friday thing. Like, you're kind of poo-pooing Arizona, and I don't know if Arizona's going to be that good. Like, tack like them scoring points is a little out of left field is wild to me. Like, I'm not a big Kyler guy. When he plays, they score. I don't know how successful that's going to be.
Always a hot starter, and then he gets banged up, and then the end of the year they falter. That's where they
exactly,
bend.
When
he's healthy. I think the pressure that's going to be placed on Josh Allen to do everything is because I think the defense is taking a step back with some of the experience that they've lost.
Hmm.
Yeah, the Milano injury hurts you a lot.
It's massive.
You know, I thought they got pressure on Kyler, but I also couldn't tell if that was pressure or Kyler being small in a pocket.
Him just running around.
And he's kind of moving around. He's wiggling around.
Well, they were getting up the field, but they were trying to be conscious of not
letting him.
Not just blowing past him, and he can run, and it still didn't actually work. And
I was just surprised. Have rookie woes in your first game is totally normal. There are no grand conclusions on Marvin Harrison Jr. for having one catch.
One catch for what, 5 yards?
I was surprised in having that game on my quad box was... The few amount of times, Kyler didn't even look his way.
Mm.
Like, there was one play he actually finally broke through. He was wide open. If Kyler throws him the ball, he's scoring a touchdown.
Towards the end of the game.
He didn't even look.
Yeah.
He just locked on. Dortch.
Greg Dortch.
We got a Dortch out here. He's getting the game go-ahead catch, potentially, for Arizona. I guess I was just surprised how little Kyler even looked his way.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you just build more chemistry, what it is, but...
Maybe you just can't see him because he's so small.
Well, but he's looking everywhere else. He was looking at other people. So you're the fourth pick in the draft. You come in with this hype. You're a great player. All the tape suggests it. To not even have the quarterback looking your way it's a little eye-opening.
Pretty underwhelming start for him, but to your point, it's one game, so nobody's drawing a grand conclusion. He had 3 targets, 1 catch for 4 yards. On the other side, Keon Coleman, 5 targets, 4 catches, 51 yards.
I think he can... I was encouraged with Keon Coleman's game, and that's just something that, like, over the next few weeks, if he stays healthy, that rapport may continue to build itself.
Yeah.
You just... Him, Daniels, Lamar. Those are 3 dudes that I took down from week one of, I don't like what I'm seeing. There's too much running. Like, Lamar lost the weight to be faster. That's great. He took way too many hits in that Kansas City game. Josh Allen, big body dude. We know he's an athletic freak. We know he can run. Cool. Stop taking hits. Injured his thumb on his left hand. Jaden Daniels, skinny as a rail. Ran a lot. Took a lot of big hits and get into the end zone. So... Just 3 things to kind of keep an eye on is, like, those guys were running.
Mm.
It obviously helps their team. took too many hits.
Yeah, you got to be smart about it, man. It's week one of the NFL season. Now you got to play 17 of these damn things. We're a long ways away from the NFL playoffs. Let's get to the mail sack. Your questions are welcome. Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Sports, non-sports, whatever you want to fire away. We'll answer them coming up next. Also, you can throw them in on the YouTube chat, and we will answer the questions in the mail sack. That is next on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, let's sack it up. It is a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. What is your most desired sports venue or event you want to go to that you have not been to yet? From P1 Shane.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is not going to be the most popular answer. Obviously, Augusta's a big one, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a Scottish Open Championship, a big college football game. It sounds weird, and it's hard to put into words, but I've always and will always want to go to a Christmas Day Madison Square Garden Knicks game.
Did not see that coming.
I've always wanted to experience Christmas in New York. It's a bucket list item.
Home Alone?
Kicked around. Yeah. But I've had friends that have gone to New York during Christmas, and they've said it really, they actually live up to what the movies show. There's a lot of hype, and it's like it lives up to the vibe. And I would love to participate in the noon Christmas Day game in New York City, Madison Square Garden, Christmas Day. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, the Christmas tree lit up at Rockefeller Center is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty badass to see you wake up, have your morning routine, do your stuff, and then head down to MSG for a game.
I wasn't there on Christmas, but I went. So when my little sister did her, all the seniors at NYU in the theater program, they have a senior recital. And so my dad paid for the siblings. We all went out, and it was middle December. So
all the
Christmas decorations were up. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, having like a B&B, like a two-bedroom Airbnb, waking up, doing like a makeshift Christmas where we have a couple gifts for our kids, but largely the trip is the gift. Then you go to like a breakfast joint that's open on a Christmas day, and then you just make your way to Madison Square Garden.
That's a pretty good call right there.
It's under the radar. It's not the top of the top, but for me, like, that's something I've always wanted to do.
I feel like these are almost two different questions, sports venue or event. I feel like there's like two offshoots that I want to go down.
Sure.
There's some venues that I would like to go to, but it doesn't connect to the event.
I want to
go to Fenway. Fenway is my number one bucket
Fenway's
list that I'd love to go to, but it's not. It's just a random Reds. I don't have to be at an ALCS game or a Yank. I just want to see Fenway Park. That's number one.
I think if you live to be 88 the way Swag has, you can say you've done all these things because everything we're throwing out, Swag is basically done.
He's already done. Nah. The event that I would like to go to, I'm going to follow your line of thinking. It's very easy to say a World Series or, you know, a big...
Nah.
One of the things that I would love to do one year is in a cold weather city. There's nothing that I enjoy more in cold weather than drinking beer outside when it's cold. And on January 1st, going to the Outdoor Classic, if it's at like a cool, like at Wrigley Field.
Or
something like being at that game, I would love every second of that.
Oh, the hockey
the
game.
The outdoor game. Classic. For the winter classic. Yeah, winter classic on New Year's Day.
That would be bad.
Wake up. Yeah. It's like, hey, a sunny but cold, snowy day.
Yes.
You're
I
in
heard
some
it was
old
awesome
stadium.
In Seattle last year.
Dude, so. I would be all over that. That's,
dude,
that's
sign me up for that, too. That's an underrated one.
Event. I want to go to a Ryder Cup. Mm, the Ryder good. Cup at Bethpage Black next year is going to
go?
Be
get
insane.
A media credential.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how that.
If you have your entry taken care of, all you have is flight. Why not?
Might have to
golf in the Northwest live from
there.
Bethpage
you go.
Live
Black.
From Bethpage Black.
That'd be awesome.
He's gonna bump Oregon Ducks game pregame
exactly.
coverage. I'm at the Ryder Cup, bitch. We're
oh,
doing this,
right.
man.
It's
I think
October.
It's at the end of September
right.
and October.
Solheim Cup is this weekend, which nobody will pay attention to except for me.
Golf is over.
The
stop.
Venue yeah, that is. Though, but come the on. Venue. I mean, there's a lot of great ones, but one thing I've always wanted to do is go to night sessions at the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
Yeah, it looks
you've
cool.
You've seen people bringing that up this week, so I'm not a big tennis pro, obviously, but I guess a lot of tennis people are very upset with the fact that they wait until the opening week of the NFL season to play the U.S. Open.
Why? Because of eyeballs?
Ratings are horrible.
Well,
yeah, it's football
why don't?
Season.
Why wouldn't you just do it 2 weeks ago?
Tennis is tough because it's an international global sport.
Am I wrong? I'm the U.S. Open. I'm doing it when I want to do it.
Well,
but there
wrong,
needs to be enough tournaments on hard courts after Wimbledon. So
you're just always going to fall to the background. If you do it the opening week of the NFL season, you're never going to break through a grow your sport.
I just don't know.
You think they can grow this one?
Probably not, but golf does this with some stuff, and it just drives me nuts. Like, why? Why would you wait? What are you doing?
I will say it does
just football, man.
It
well, it's also
comparison.
Every day for 2 weeks, so it's. I mean, it's just the
that's
problem
the
is
part.
Your championship matches get lost on football weekend.
Yeah.
If they offset it, maybe a little bit, where your championship
have
matches
it be like a Tuesday night or something,
something
maybe
like
a breakthrough.
That. But they, yeah. I don't. They can't move it.
Well,
they can't move it up. The tennis calendar just does not work.
I saw a couple matches. I didn't watch all of them all the way through, but like I saw Pegula lost in the final, and I'm like, oh, the final happened?
Yeah, the women. Yeah, yeah, Saturday afternoon the women play the final, and Sunday afternoon
and
the is
the
men's final.
And Sunday, yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Mail sack question. I just got back from a cruise. The elevators were often super crowded. I sometimes saw able-bodied people waiting 3 to 4 minutes to take an elevator
take
down
a
single flight
asses.
Of stairs that would take 8 seconds to walk.
People are so lazy.
You already answered the question. Am I wrong to immediately judge them as lazy?
Absolutely.
No, you are not
take
wrong.
Some damn stairs.
They are lazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I've never been on a giant cruise ship, so unless are the staircases like easily found and accessible?
Sounds like they are because everybody waits for an elevator.
I'm guessing they're right by the elevator. Hey, there's no room. Here's the stairs.
It's therapy.
You're going
Tuesday.
Down a floor.
My therapist is on a second floor in our building. And when I first went to this building, I'd never been in it before. There's an elevator. Okay.
Automatically take it.
I eventually found stairs. I never take the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, it takes forever. And second of all, it's like it's one flight
of stairs.
One
time I'm taking the elevator.
Seconds.
Yeah.
It's good for me.
Yes. It's in high rises. Am I on the 18th floor? Yeah, okay, I'm taking an elevator. Hotel or office building or something.
By the way, also, like, no offense to the listener. Thank you for the honesty here. Stop being lazy, people. Don't go on a cruise.
You anti-cruise guy?
It's well established on this show.
Anti-cruise.
I will never
go on
a cruise.
I have no desire to go on a confined space with 6,000.
I don't
want to
be on a boat.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Now, the European river cruises, that I'm interested in.
How about a gambling cruise in the bayou? And then we come back 2 hours later.
Well, they have the river boats that are parked. It's called Biloxi. Have fun.
Give me that. Like, I'll do that because I know I'm coming back.
What is your favorite memory from a sporting event that you have attended?
Ooh.
The 06, well, I've attended, one of my favorite memories is a game that will never be talked about and remembered in the history of sports. The year the Blazers were terrible. It was 2004. It was the last game of the year. The Lakers had Gary Payton. So I went with my cousin to the last game. This was Stoudemire-Randolph Blazers, right? This was
glory
bad.
Days.
Oh, and maybe. The Lakers needed to win their division that night. This is when divisions kind of mattered a little bit in the NBA still. The Kings had lost, and this is the memorable Kobe Bryant double overtime game winner. It was absolute insanity and one of the more entertaining basketball games I've ever been to. The ending was nuts. I will, though, pick the 06 Oregon State USC football game. I didn't want to go. In fact, I had to be talked into it because I was convinced that we were going to get our asses kicked by USC.
Wow.
And I had something else going on, and so it was like I had to cancel that thing.
Was that Jeff Van Orso in the 2-point conversion?
Yes, it was.
I was there for that in the press box. It was
the loudest I've ever heard. Yep. Reeser.
That was amazing. And that was the first real big upset.
They needed it too.
That,
were
it
they
again, what,
two
years later? Was it the next one, 08?
Yeah, it was 08. Yeah. The people were like, when 08.
USC was ranked 2, I want to say, or were they number 1? I think they were 2 or 3. They weren't number 1.
They were number 1 in 08.
Yeah.
They were number 1 in 08, and I think they were number 2 in 06. Yeah. 08 was a, hey, imagine we did this again.
That'd be cool.
And you had Rodgers, and then his brother came on campus, and there was a lot of buzz that he was actually the better high school player, and so everybody was pretty jacked about that. The 06 one was, oh my God,
this is happening.
Pete Carroll, yeah. USC.
That was a day game. I remember that game.
It was a day game. They built a big lead, and then they were holding on for dear life in the fourth quarter.
They were lucky to win it, but Strotter's punt return in that game, Sammy Strotter's punt return, absolute electricity.
Yeah, I think my favorite of the game I've ever been to, there's a lot to choose from. The 09 Civil War, I will never forget. The energy in that stadium, what was on the line, running over Lance Mitchell on fourth down. That one is near the top of the list. But number one for me has to be the 2011 Rose Bowl. Like, there's something special about that venue, the sun setting.
Yeah.
That was such a great classic game between Oregon and Wisconsin, back and forth, Chip jumping up and down for the fumble recovery, crazy Kiko Alonso pick. Like, that game was bananas.
Was that the Chrome Dome?
That was the Chrome game, Chrome Dome. And they had been knocking on the door of, like, wanting relevancy, and they lost in the national championship the year before. They lost in the opener at LSU. Like, you needed one of those big wins. You lost in the Rose Bowl in 2009. Like, they needed it, and they finally got it, and I vomited all over outside the stadium after that game, and I'll never forget it.
There's a few. The 06 still, upset of USC.
Puke stain is still there.
It's still there to this day. To that golf course or wherever the hell you park outside
Lillard's,
the Rose Bowl.
Lillard's 09 to beat the Rockets. I got to be in the building for that. That was insane.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah,
I was also in the building for Brandon Roy's fourth quarter in the playoffs against the Mavericks. And that was different because it just kept building and building and building. Like, Lillard, like, people, the media, when after Houston got the layup at the other end, the media was like, oh, crap, I got to get a flight to Houston.
Everybody's booking their stuff.
And so there was a surprise factor, like, oh, my God, that just happened. And it took a couple of minutes to sink in. Roy's was building and building and building. And I still think it was louder for Roy's fourth quarter.
It was a crescendo.
Than because of the pure shock and awe of Lillard hitting that shot. And people were just.
Right. I would love to comp the Roy noise for that one, not with the Rocket game, with the Thunder game.
You guys were at that one.
Yeah, you were at that. I was surprised you didn't pick that one.
That was in the running for me in my mind.
I wasn't at that game.
Yeah, that was me and Joe Fish.
Yeah.
And I was behind the hoop that he made the shot, and it was just, I don't know. Hard to put into words. You just couldn't believe it was happening. And also, ha-ha, they lost. He waved. Like, all of that was just
And the
crazy.
Other Blazer game, this was back a long time ago when I actually had tickets and a real job, was the Rasta Monsta series against Utah.
Yes.
With the Band-Aid under the eye and everybody counting to 10 seconds when Malone went to the free throw line.
Kids were wearing Band-Aids at school.
Yeah. I'll never forget that.
And being like there,
for the clincher, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That is a really good one. We got a couple more SAC questions. People are texting in their favorite events that they've ever been to. I want to read a couple of those on the other side. You can chime in, Vancouver Ford text line. As always, 503-864-6326. I got a couple of other NFL notes to get to as well. Back up for this. All right, some good ones coming in the Vancouver Ford text line. We're doing a mail sack. Somebody asked your favorite memory from a sports game that you attended.
I got to be honest, I blanked on that Lillard shot till he said the Rocket one.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, weren't you at that game?
The difference, though, the reason I go back to that Kobe Blazer game that didn't matter, but it was just one.
I remember that game, yeah.
It was nuts that he hit that. I think he hit it twice, but the first time there was something called back, and then he hit it again.
Against the Kobe stopper, too, right?
Against the Kobe stopper, Theo Ratliff trying to block the shot. I went as a media member of the Blazer game, and, like, I have a video where, like, oh! But, like, I didn't get to enjoy it
quite the same.
A little bit different.
It's a little different when you go as media.
Well, we were talking about the Roy comeback. If I were to choose one of those moments to go to as a Blazer fan, Roy would be my easy call just because of how bad they were in the first half, first three quarters of that game. All hope was lost. They were dead. They couldn't make a shot. They were down by 20.
He wasn't playing either.
He wasn't playing. The career was over. It was a depressing feeling of like, God, they're going to get swept in the first round of the playoffs again.
Yeah.
Roy's not healthy again. Like, this is the end. And then you had this climb where the other moments you got the moment, which everybody erupted. But I think to watch it build as the quarter went on and like start to believe and as every shot went in, I think that's the one that I would probably pick.
I sound like a wet blanket with this, but I saw a video about a week ago or maybe less that I'm kind of starting to not like, because if other fans do it, we roll our eyes at them. And that was Greg Oden was on a podcast, and I'm blanking on who it was, but he just did a podcast with somebody.
I saw this, yeah.
And he basically was talking about how good Roy was, and we all saw that, right? But it just with the Aldridge Roy Oden stuff, we as a fan base love to conclude that we're a dynasty.
Yeah, it's not a question of winning one, it's how many we would have won.
And I also think that would have been such an amazing three-headed nucleus. I love that we have a moment in time that didn't work out for us, and we just concluded we weren't just going to be good. We were the best. And there's zero evidence of it. It's like a 7-game sample size.
Dude, you see all those rebounds Greg Oden grabbed,
Greg
though, man?
Greg was averaging 14 to 14, Sprague.
He was
Roy. It's like, I know, but anyways, I'm okay with former players doing it. I just love that we hold on to it as if
it's all we got, man.
We had a four-peat looming.
That's all we got.
If they would have stayed healthy.
Not a lot of chances to win here in the last quarter century, and that's the only one we had. And it felt like it was going to happen, and that team never won a first-round playoff series.
Well, they got their asses handed. I'll never forget the Houston series when everybody thought they were going to win, and Houston just came in here and bully-balled us. And it was like, oh my God.
And the next year it was Phoenix, and then it was Dallas, and then the whole thing was over, and we started over again after 1 year. Somebody said, I don't have a lot of games I've been to, but my junior year of college, 1994, I was in the student section. Kenny Wheaton's going to score.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty solid. What else do we have here? I love this from a Mariner fan. My family and I were both at both games last year that the Mariners starters went 9 innings without giving up a run, and they still lost in the extra innings of both games. It's a dope memory. Fun to experience the pain in person. Well played, Mariner fan. Well played. Sitting in the Hawks' nest as Marshawn Lynch busted the Beast Quake run against the Saints.
Quake.
One of the most epic ones ever. Saints fans were so smug that season after Seattle limped into the playoffs at like 7-9. That was dope.
I remember the big outrage, and I probably had the same opinion, was that they got to host that game. And I remember thinking, that's bull crap, because the Saints were clearly a better team in the regular season.
The division winner crap.
They were what,
7-9 division winner.
Because they won
the crappy
NFC West. NFC West.
Yeah, that was NFC West. P1 Unit said, best game I've been to, first Mariners game, was versus the Royals. Griffey and Bo Jackson both hit one out. Mariners won. I was like 7.
Dude, I hope you still have the ticket to that. That's a memorable
you
ticket.
You do not forget that. Yeah. Somebody said, I was in the Stanford section at the Cal game when they ran the ball back through the band. It was a loss, but in a way, I was glad I was there because I was going to live forever. Can't even be angry with that one. Game 5, Mariners and Yankees, 1995. Edgar. Yeah, a lot of good ones coming in. A lot of great memories coming in.
I've been to a few Mariner games. I went to one game. Okay, I guess my best baseball games that I've been to in my life. Well, I went to a Dodger playoff game against the D-backs, but the D-backs don't make me feel special that I'm watching it.
No.
That was a cool experience, though, and I got one of the funniest stories from one of my friends from that story of what he was saying out loud. Memorable, I saw the 05 White Sox in Seattle. They won the World Series.
They won the World Series.
Bobby Jenks.
I went up there to see the Dodgers when 6 Mariner pitchers went on a combined no-hitter.
The combined no-no.
Yep, I forgot about that one.
I was there for that.
And I saw one game in the 116-win season. That was That's probably the coolest baseball
thing I saw. Nolan Ryan's last game he ever pitched, it was at the Kingdom. And he did not get out of the first inning.
I saw a stat that said that the Kingdom has now been gone for longer than it existed.
Yeah, when did it? 76?
It existed for 24 years, and then they tore it down, and has now been gone for like more than 24 years. I saw that stat the other
day. I famously turned down Michael Jordan's last game in Portland as a Wizard.
Oopsies. Want that one back?
Please don't ask why.
What were you doing that day, Brandon, huh? What were you doing that afternoon, that evening, huh?
It wasn't what. It was who.
Ooh, hey.
Hello.
Let's get one more in here. This kind of ties in. Somebody had asked a question, too, that wasn't Mail Sack related, but somebody said, Mail Sack, could you make the argument that the NFC West is the best division in the NFL? I don't see a division layup opponent, and every team is being talked about as a playoff hopeful. Or more, can the NFC West make the argument? That connects to a listener who chimed in, was like, hey, you guys haven't really talked much Seahawks the last 2 days.
I was going to get to him today, and I thought maybe
it was
tomorrow.
In my notes. Well, we meant to talk about him yesterday, but then it turned more into like a Bo Nix rookie quarterback conversation because they were the team that he faced. So, I mean, they defensively look good. It's
Number
hard to
one.
Tell how much of that is playing Bo Nix in his first NFL start and
all
how much of
it.
That is what is going to be the rest of the year. But the NFC West does feel like a bit of a juggernaut right now.
McDonald has got the vibes. What I'll say about Seattle, 1 week you played a rookie quarterback who was atrocious. You have vibes. I watched all the locker room stuff. He's very loose on the sidelines. Got Marshawn rubbing his shoulders. He seems genuinely like a good, young, fun coach. The vibes are definitely there. They're number one in DVOA defensively in the league, which follow the DVOA. That tells you who the best teams are. They're number one defensively. They looked amazing. They also played Bo Nix, and so I kind of want to see a little more, but a great start for them. Clunky, weird offensively with the safeties and whatnot.
Field position had a big thing to do with
but
that.
But exactly what you thought you'd see defensively
from
McDonald's.
Well, and I think you're going to see they go on the road
they get New England
to New England. So, one, you expect your defense to have another good showing.
Dude, I mean, my God.
Now,
it's terrible.
You know, now can the offense look more efficient against a very good defense?
Can I text Ken and ask why that trap line's only 3.5 in that game?
Cross country, I would like imagine.
Cross country early
thing.
Start.
Pats are, I mean.
The Pats defense was good.
Pats defense was good.
Yeah. Gerard Mayo, if he's going to be good at anything, it's going to be
defense.
So
if the Seahawks go there and they get another one, then we'll find out week three. The Dolphins come to Seattle week three. And I think that'll be okay.
They go back-to-back week with Dolphins, and then they go on the road for Monday Night Football against the Lions.
Of the Lions.
Ooh. And they've actually they've had success against Detroit.
They have in Detroit.
I think they beat them last year, and they beat them either the year before or the 2 years before.
So I think at the end of the month, we'll have a much better assessment. If they're 3-1 and didn't get blown out in anything, then
that number's 38, by the way. Take the under.
The 38 under in New England, Seattle. Yeah, I mean, I if I were a Seahawks fan, I would have left encouraged about the defense, although that is largely aided, not largely, but it definitely is aided by having a rookie quarterback on the other side of things.
It's a massive part of that story.
I would be scratching my head a little bit about the offense. It just, field position was not in their favor. I thought Kenneth Walker was awesome, him
he
being back healthy. Like, he's a stud. Geno's just, he's interesting, man. Like,
he had some really good throws, though.
He had some really good throws. He also had some really bad throws and had a turnover and took some sacks. And they got great weapons on the outside. Like, they got a three-headed monster up front. Or not up front, but on the outside that they can use. Like,
yeah, Lockett was really good.
That offense should be good. Like, that offense has pieces, man.
Well, let's give it another couple weeks and see what I think that's the encouraging part is you didn't play your cleanest game.
And you won.
And you won. Geno can clean some stuff up. You mentioned they've got the three receivers. Lockett was questionable going in. He had a monster game.
Yeah, he did.
Charles Cross was, I think, number one in PFF's offensive tackle gradings. Like, he had the best game of almost anybody playing the position.
Have we gotten an update on Fant, the tackle who went out in that game for the Seahawks?
I haven't seen one, no.
I have not either. I know he got hurt, but I have not seen one either.
I'll check Brady's account, I guess.
See if he's got an update on it, because that's never good. You don't want guys to go down.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing is you go down a lineman. That's like not the one thing you don't want to see.
Yeah, I just remember him limping. I was watching on the red zone. I just remember him limping off the field, and then I didn't really see an update.
It's day-to-day on Fant. I guess McDonald was on with Brock and Salk, and he basically said it's day-to-day.
Day-to-day. You see the scene of Marshawn Lynch like rubbing his shoulders on the sideline in the middle of the game, walking up. Marshawn does what Marshawn wants, man. Does what he wants.
I just mentioned that.
Oh, did you really? I was looking up George Fan and I got distracted.
That was before George Fan.
Was it? Yeah. Hey, I'm here. What do you want from me? I'm paying attention.
No, but look.
Here's the situation.
It's not like we're being overly complimentary of Seattle. You have a great defense. You've got things. You work off a little more rust offensively.
Yeah.
But when you have a defense that's not going to let games get away from you,
Well, that's the other part. I want to hold that a little bit, well, just a little.
That's why I say, let's see Tua and let's see Detroit and see what happens.
Right.
There's pieces there, man. I think to connect to the other question originally, like, yeah, I think you can make an argument the NFC West is, it's in the running. It's in the conversation for the best division in football.
I think it's them or the AFC North.
AFC North, yeah. The Steelers being in first place without scoring an offensive touchdown is pretty funny.
Because I think the Bengals will naturally get better. The Ravens will eventually start winning again. I don't know about Cleveland, but
NFC
Pittsburgh.
North, maybe, but a lot of that has to do with Jordan Love's injury. And then what do we make of the Bears? Like, they're a hyped team, but they couldn't score an offensive touchdown. Like, do you really trust them? Mm. Minnesota beat a terrible team in the Giants, so I don't think anybody's really buying them. But NFC West is in the running, man. It's going to be a tough division and a fun one to watch all year. Let's wrap it up on a Tuesday. We'll send you on your way next on The Fam. Ah, damn it. I forgot to play the Field of Dreams speech. It's 2 minutes. I don't think we have enough time here.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Oh, those pipes.
So good. R.I.P.
Greatest voice in human history. Hot take.
Yeah, we had a mail sack question on that. Power Rankings top five performances. Like, I just, you know, it's hard to do.
Well, the hard thing is, like, physical acting versus voice acting. And I don't want to belittle voice acting. To be able to nail the lines so perfectly with what John Williams had created musically and what the actor in the Vader suit had physically done, man, that's a unique talent.
I mean, he didn't do the physical acting, but nobody thinks of any, like, when you think of Darth Vader, he's who you, like, that's Darth Vader. I don't care if it was him in the suit or not. That's Darth Vader.
I'll be honest, when they show Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, he's dying and he wants to say bye to Luke with his real face, I'm very disappointed.
It should have been him.
I remember
in the
being
suit.
A kid and just going, that's the guy whose voice scares me?
No, not the guy, not the guy.
But top role, I mean, I said this yesterday to somebody, I think you have to say it's Vader, right? What he's most known for
is Darth Vader.
I mean, he's got such an iconic IMDb, but I think it's Vader.
Yeah, definitely Vader. For me personally, we talked about this in the open of the show. For me, it's Field of Dreams. It's one of my favorite movies, sports or non-sports related. I love that movie and his role in it. Terrence Mann, the author, got to go find him in his apartment in Boston, take him to the game. I
love him laughing at the end as he disappears into the cornfield.
Yes, walks into the cornfield to go play with the guys.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that'll do it for us. Hey, get this for a guest list tomorrow.
It's a little Wednesday.
Marty Smith is going to join us at 7 o'clock.
We get to party with Marty.
That Marty Smith.
Yeah.
And then Josh Pate, 7:45.
It's going to be a loaded football. A
couple of Southern accents on the show tomorrow. It's going to be glorious, man.
Marty's got such good twang.
Marty and his coiffed hair.
Oh, he's got the best hair.
Just good hair. Good head of hair right there. So that will do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, you can go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Spragan, at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Go subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. There's videos up, little clips of the show you can go watch. You can watch all the shows live. You can watch the shows back after they're done. Everything is up at our 1080 The Fan YouTube page. So go subscribe, like the video if you watch the show today. Thank you so much, everybody, for being a part of our beautiful Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.